Hello, everybody. Welcome back to 10 Down with Terry and David. I am so glad we are back.
We're back. We're still breathing. I'm still breathing.
We're just...
I'm surprised that I'm still breathing, to be honest. Let's be honest, Terry.
No, do you know what, David? You've actually had so much time on Instagram, like just basically slagging me off. Like, what's that all about? What's this whole new era of David just dressing up in a dressing gown and absolutely
rinsing I have fans. And what's this all about where you leave it till the death before you'll actually like engage? I don't mean physically online. I mean, you'll engage with me. You'll go like, oh, I noticed that video that you put up.
Because you're rinsing me. I'm just literally, I was in work yesterday at a job. I was with my agent and I got tagged by David Fitzpatrick and I was like, he's just my biggest troll.
What did Katie say?
Did you always just looked at it and laughed? But I was just like, I literally am afraid to leave the house because that's when you do it. Like,
that's when I try on your clothes.
Fucking Caitlyn Jenner, Caitlyn Fitzpatrick over here. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy to be back. It's lovely. We last recorded in July, which is mad because we've obviously had content going out. And I actually managed to post a question box there a while ago and I was asking 10 downers for feedback. And girls were saying that you missed just the one-to-one episodes of me and David. So we're not going to do as many guests this season.
We'll spread them out.
We'll probably just get like a couple of people on. But I think people love the chats, the daily chats and the catch-ups. And I also had to be completely transparent, I had a catch-up with my agency. And they were kind of saying that people love, and they love, the parenting side of things and the life and all of that.
What they can relate to, yeah.
Yeah, it's what they miss. So that was a good insight. And it was good to kind of give it a go and give it a try. And, you know, we like so many amazing guests on. It was really fun.
That's Who was great. Your favourite? Are we allowed to say?
Who was my favourite? I loved Grace and Carol, but they're my pals. I loved Mark. I loved Chris.
You're going through the whole list.
Going through them all. I actually loved them all. Like, yeah. I thought it was really good, but it was funny to see the insights and like who people loved as well. Like, I think the most watched episode or the most listened to episode was Grace.
Yeah.
And then would it be Carol or Mark?
It would be Grace and then Mark.
Mark?
Between Mark and Chris would be, they'd fall together. Yeah.
So that was really interesting. But anyway, we're back. We're very excited. And we're going to start off this season. Are we doing seasons? I don't know what we're doing. But anyway, we're going to start off this section of the podcast with bringing you guys up to speed on the last couple of weeks because it's been quite magical and absolutely terrifying at the same time.
It has been chaos. And we spoke about this off the podcast a number of times, is how, like you said at the start, one stops and the other begins.
Yeah.
And then you get two under control and then the other one starts and then they just go and cycle. And then you step in and you cause your chaos and then you walk away and then I'm left with the usual.
What, David? Now, in fairness and be honest, you have caused the most chaos postpartum. I think you gave birth to the baby. David's been having weekly menty bees.
Yeah, I have. there's absolutely no question about it. And we tested the idea of having, we needed someone basically to help to just do a quick
clean,
deep clean of the whole house.
Once a week.
And they've only been here once, right? because we can't commit to a day or time where they're going to be here, where we're going to be here, number one. And number two is that because I'm trying to keep on top of it, like myself, but there's obviously lots of things that we can't get to. Mm. When I say we, I mean me. I can't get to like the deep cleaning of stuff. Like I'll get
like the bathrooms.
No, but I'll clean the toilets and the, you know, the hoovering of course and the mopping and stuff. But then other stuff gets forgotten about. But I feel that I'm about to actually have a mental breakdown.
Like I clean as well.
What?
I tidy. I do tidy, Davey. You have to say I've really, 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 really gotten better. Considering.
Oh, you flourish every day, Terry.
Thanks.
You do. You flourish every day.
Anyway, well, we bring them up to speed and fill them in on the birth of our beautiful baby.
Go on.
We were told to be ready at 37 weeks so he would kind of arrive because I had cholestasis on Sydney. And a lot of healthcare workers that I came in contact with were like, oh, it's going to happen again or it could happen again or it might not, but just be ready for around 37 weeks. So I feel like we had our hearts set that he was going to arrive at 37 weeks. So when I went over that, we were like, what is happening? And there was a lot going on. I had gestational diabetes. I had the poly. So I had a lot of fluid.
I kept looking at you. I was like, are you going to have cholestasis or what? Like, is this boy coming or not?
Yeah. And then for those of you who don't know, quickly, cholestasis is basically, you've got a gallbladder and it produces bile. And with pregnancy, in some pregnancies, the hormone estrogen and progesterone can cause havoc, basically. And your bile doesn't empty into your digestive system and it builds up in your bloodstream and it makes you super itchy and it's really dangerous for baby. It can cause stillbirths. It can cause fetal distress and usually you deliver early with it. Mm. So it's kind of serious. Like, do you know what I mean? And I had it on Sydney and the symptoms are itchy. So I, on the week before we had Miles, I was on and off throughout the pregnancy, like from 35 weeks, I kept being like, oh my God, I'm itchy. Mm. And then I'd go and get my blood done and it was like, it's not quite there yet. Like, anyway, one of the nights I was like to David, I'm tearing itchy. And he, like, I was using the same phrases that I had on Sydney, wasn't I? Mm. Like, I'm going to take the skin off myself. He's like, it's definitely happening, like, definitely happening.
Coming.
So he was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I had been booked in for the section on the Friday anyway with the consultant. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, oh my God, what's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. So basically for that whole week before I had Miles, I was in and out of the hospital and they were doing blood tests and, you know, I had the diabetes as well. There was the poly. Oh my God. It was a lot. Like it was like I was not having a good time, girls. It was not a good time. I was not having a good time. Anyway, got itchy, went in on the Wednesday and I was more or less offered the C-section by the consultant. He was like, we could do it today, but it won't be me doing it because he wasn't in theatre. And he's like, it's completely up to you. I'm happy to wait until Friday with your levels. Like, they're not like super dangerous. They changed the guidelines on the bile levels. So I had to kind of make a decision on the Wednesday. Do you remember whether I was going to go for it or, sorry, that was the Tuesday, whether I was going to go
stick
for
it out and go
or stick it out and wait for
Friday.
Him.
Yeah.
And I felt like my gut was screaming at me to wait for him. Because I just felt safer with him. Remember, like, because if I had a went before then, I think it would have been just like a register, not just a register, but like it would have been a reg. And like, I just.
And it also turned out that that he was the same
consultant
that delivered Sydney.
That delivered Sydney, yeah. Not that, sorry, I feel like I was like just a reg, but like, you know, obviously the regs are amazing, but I just wanted him because he did, he's got such a calming aura about him.
He needs to wear a dickie bow.
I know. He was absolutely amazing. Can you remember his name?
No. Honestly. But I think we're in such
I can't remember his name.
Blur.
I'm
Stassen.
Professor Stassen. David, that's the MaxFast consultant I used to work with, James, 10 years ago. Oh my God, Stassen. Anyway, Michael Geary, that was his name. Sorry, yeah. Pure baby brain. But he's got a really calm and aura about him. And he was like, look, I'm happy to wait. And I really wanted to go with him because I felt really safe with him. So anyway, we got the elective C-section. We went in on the Friday. Like I said, a gestational diabetes. I was given these like preoperative drinks to drink. And I remember saying to you, I was like, I shouldn't drink these because I know they're going to cause my blood pressure to go up or my blood sugars to go up and then crash. Because that seemed to be the theme throughout my pregnancy with the diabetes was that like if I ate something real sugary, I'd have a really bad crash after it. Mm. And I'd go hypoglycemic. So I'd go down to kind of like 2.8 was the lowest one, wasn't it? That was actually...
Shit, we need to talk about that too.
Yeah.
My God, there's so much to fill in.
So much to fill in. I had like a hypoglycemic event. It was not funny.
I turned into a paramedic.
And the thing is, you're not supposed to have hypos when you're pregnant. You're supposed to have hypers. Like your blood sugar is not supposed to go low.
It's going to go high.
Go high. But like, you see, what was happening, I think, was that I'd eat something sugary. My body would overproduce insulin and then it would crash my sugars. Mm. That was just my theory. I don't know. What do I know? But anyway, I was like to David, I shouldn't drink these because I feel like they're going to crash my blood sugars. Mm. This is not a medical podcast. I'm not advising you not to drink them. Drink them if your doctors tell you. I'm just saying that's how I felt. Anyway, I drank them because that's what I was told to do.
What did they taste like?
They tasted like lemon. It was fine. But I nailed two of them that morning and then I was fasting. And then literally as we went into the hospital, David dropped us off. David dropped me off and then he went to park the car. And then I was literally brought up straight away, wasn't it? Anyway, walked up. And as I walked into the ward, there was this lovely girl called Amy. I'll never forget her. She was lovely, lovely nurse, midwife, sorry. And she was like, how are you feeling? I was like, I'm having a hypo. I was just there shaking. And she was like, what? Anyway, she was lovely, got us all checked in. And then I was like shaking, remember, and felt really weak and like I was going to vomit. And then they were like trying to find some dextrose, IV.
Yeah, I was getting a bit like, and I was sitting behind that curtain. I was like, I just, in my head, that the thought that was going through my head was like, something's going to happen where they're going to say you've missed your slot today.
Yeah.
You might have to keep kept in overnight. You know?
Yeah, no, they wouldn't.
What would I know, Terry? What would I know?
But anyway, it was funny because they're trying to find the dex and we had a laugh, like, anyway, and then the blood sugars are covered and then I went in. And the experience this time, if anybody is listening and you're going for an elective C-section,
Your husband.
Yeah, it is such a nice experience. I thought it was nice. Now, like, obviously, it's scary. And I feel like when you have a medical background, any kind of intervention is scary because you know a lot, like, and you know, probably know too much. But I felt a lot safer this time, I think, because I had trust in the consultant. I'd met him a few times, whereas previously I'd never had, there was no continuity. It was weird because we did the preoperative assessment, remember, outside the room, and David was kind of like, you were not panicking, but I could see that you were like.
But it just goes to show where it in that position, and I know he and she never meant anything bad by it, but it was just in that moment, the dad had no play in this game anymore. Like, it was nothing to do with me. I was sitting next to you as your support system, but then there was so many people that were coming and going and talking you through, like, who they were, they introduced themselves, the procedure, but everybody bar one introduced themselves to me, and it was almost like it stupidly like kicked my ego in the arse, where I was like, why didn't you say hello to me?
So then, how do I make this about me?
No, as in, like, not that at all. I'm talking about as in...
You were scared too.
I was... No, let me finish. I'm talking about that you have the most important thing to me in that room, and you're going to do this procedure. Whereas it was like, you need to reassure me that she's going to be okay.
Yeah, like you felt left out of the loop a little bit.
Only by one person.
One?
Only by one person. But then afterwards, they made it their business to come and congratulate and make sure that you were okay. And then I felt fine.
I know
fine.
Who you're talking about. He was amazing though, to me.
But I'm saying in the moment, it wasn't about me.
Yeah.
To get me?
You and got it forgotten about in that moment, yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying in that moment... We have video footage of you rolling your fucking eyes, Terry. So in that moment, it wasn't about me. And that's, it was a smack of reality is what I'm saying to you, that, but it was like.
Scary.
Scary. It was, it's scary.
And you wanted a bit of reassurance. I think what you're trying to say is that you felt a little bit left out of the loop. You wanted reassurance and you felt scared.
That you were going to be okay, not me.
Of course.
I was going to be okay.
Like, that's what I mean, reassurance.
You're like, let's not make it about you. It's not about me. It's just like. Yeah. Everyone looked at me, said who they were and what they were doing, and one person didn't. And it was like, why is this person not doing it?
Yeah.
Do you get me?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
That's all I'm saying.
But it was bizarre walking in. Like, I won't lie, like, I was shaking head to toe. Mm. The anaesthetist was incredible. I found him amazing. The midwives were incredible. Everybody was amazing. The spinal went really well compared to last time. The last time they missed, and then I had a spinal leak and I had really bad headaches after, but they got it in straight away. Everything worked straight away. I lay down. I didn't feel like my heart rate was as high this time. Like, remember last time it was like through the roof and I was like looking at the blood pressures and I was freaking out and I was like, I need a vasopressor.
Well, I suppose that's because it's putting everything aside of what it is that you're actually going in to do, but you weren't fully familiar of what you were going to do because you hadn't been in there before the first time.
Yeah, it was I've been in theatres and I felt comfortable enough in that clinical environment, but I feel like because I've been through it before, it definitely helped. And if you're listening and you've never had a section before and you're booked in for a section, like, take my word for it, it is like clockwork. Mm. They are literally doing that all day, every day, and everything just runs like clockwork. Like, I was kind of a lot more aware this time, if you know what I mean. Anyway, lay down, everything kicked in, was chatting away, was doing all the spinal checks, like the making sure that the spinal had kicked in. And for anybody, sorry, that doesn't know, spinal is a little bit different to the epidural. The epidural is like a continuous infusion into your spine that, you know, provides numbness to that area. And the spinal is just one quick dose and it wears off after a certain amount of time. So You're not hooked up to an epidural.
So scary.
Yeah. So anyway, lay down. Then David came in, and God love you, David. Like you wear your emotions on your face. Like,
come on, let's make it about me for a minute.
You were smiling at me, but your eyes weren't smiling. You were like,
well, this is the thing. The first time I was definitely like unaware of, because I said this to you so many times when Sydney was delivered. I did not expect, number one, the room to be so big, and number two, to be so many people in the room.
Did you think the room was big?
No, when I walked in on Sydney, I was like, there was so many people in the room. I lost count.
Yeah.
Like when I scanned the room, whereas this time on Miles, I walked in, I was like,
it wasn't as many.
No, there was as many, but I knew what was ahead of me. I was prepared.
So you were a lot more shocked the first time that you were like, oh, this is real serious. Like,
yeah.
But because I, it's funny that you say the room was big, because I felt like the room was tiny. The theater was small.
Was it the same theater?
Same room. Yeah, same theater. Yeah. Just in my mind, it just felt like it was small. Mm. I don't know why. But anyway, he lay down. David came in and we were ready to rock. And they started the procedure. And I think knife to skin, like the baby's out within 4 minutes.
Don't say that.
But like it's from the moment that they start like the procedure, they're out in 4 minutes.
Life to skin.
I know, it's kind of bad. But yeah, they're out in 4 minutes. So it's mad. It is mad when you think about it. And
But it feels so much longer.
I felt like they were closing me a lot longer. Like it took a lot longer this time to close up.
Mm.
And I don't know why that was, but because I have a video and I actually can't watch it. I watched it once and I was like, oh, and it was a video of me lying there and Miles is on my chest and you can just see my eyes looking left to right. And I was like, am I okay? Because like they'd been closing for a while and I thought I might be bleeding. And they were like, yep, just closing now. And I was like, God, isn't it mad that like I was lying there and they were doing that? Like, oh.
And in your head, you're fully like aware of what's going on.
Of course, yeah. But like Miles came out and he screamed straight away, which is always amazing.
Mm.
And I just remember you and you did the exact same thing on Sydney. You just straight away put your head onto me. Oh my God, I don't want to get emotional. Yeah. You did the exact same thing. You just literally put your head down onto my head. Like it was like a relief for you. Like just opened the door. But yeah, I don't want to get emotional because I did on the last one. But yeah, I just to hear him scream. Oh my God, it was amazing.
Mm. And then how did we ever like survive as a like a human race? Like our human species.
What do you mean?
Because back in the day when we didn't have any of these, like...
Well, the population wasn't as big. It was population control, like all those things.
10?
Okay. But that's the thing. Like, you know, like... it was not population control, you know what I mean? Like, the population is much bigger now because of medical intervention, thank God.
It's madness. It is mind blown.
Miles came out and then they took him. And I remember them being like, Dad, do you want to come over? And you went over. And then I just heard them saying, he's 8, 9. And I was like, what? Like, I literally
couldn't believe it
because I was 38 weeks. Like, I wasn't even full term.
So he had another 2 weeks to go?
Yeah, 2 weeks to cook. I wasn't full term. And out he came and he was 8, 9 and he was a little chunk. And the relief that I felt, like I couldn't feel my body and I felt relief.
Well, that's probably what happened to me when you're talking about where I did the same on Sydney, where I put my head on you. I didn't even realize I was doing it. It's probably just a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
When he's out or when Sydney's out, it's because it's real. Again, this is something that the people don't talk about with men. It's like, it is hard. Like, cause you're worried sick.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Because there's only so much we can do.
Your whole world is there on the table, bar Jake and Sydney. Like, do you know what I mean? Your whole world. And especially if it's your first baby.
Mm.
So yeah, I totally agree. And actually, now that you mention it, if you are going in to have a C-section or like birth, make sure you bring food for the dance because like we got back to the ward with Miles and you looked absolutely like spent, you looked recognized, like, have you eaten? And this is at like 1 or 2 o'clock. And you were like, no. So I took out my phone and got an Uber Eats for David. Me absolutely broke up after the C-section ordering you an Uber Eats.
But see, I'm one of those people where I wear my emotions on my face, like with everything. And I don't know, it's just me. I can't really do anything about it. So,
but yeah, Miles came out and he was a chunk and I'll just never forget them bringing him over to me. Like, he screamed and screamed and screamed. Again, I don't want to get upset, but as soon as they brought him over, he stopped. Remember they put him by my head.
Yeah.
And he stopped and I was sobbing. And I was like, my baby. Like, I don't know why I say that. But I was like, it's okay, well, baby.
It is.
Yeah, but I just, and we didn't have a name for him. So we didn't actually know what he was called. So we were like, baby. And everybody's like, what's his name? We're like, we don't know. Anyway.
That's actually what I wanted to talk about next was his name. Because a lot of people have asked where we came up with the name. And it was one of the names that popped up at the beginning. But then we had a whole list behind it. Or after it.
Oh.
And we ended up going back to the start.
Back to the start. Do you know, some girl messed me and asked me, did we call him Miles because we've traveled so many miles? Yeah. I was like, no.
Yeah, that's why we called him
Miles. No, 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 no.
And we've told this story probably 100 times on the pod that when we moved to Australia, of course, Sydney wasn't even considered. But we always said that if we were lucky enough to have kids and we had a girl, that we would call her Sydney.
Or him.
Yeah, well, mainly her.
I loved it for a boy.
But, when we found out that we were having a girl, there wasn't even any...
Doubt.
There was no question that of was like this or this. It was literally, her name is going to be Sydney.
Yeah.
So when we found out it was a boy, I never expected, first of all, I was ever going to have a boy. I was like, oh shit, what are we going to call him?
I know, so much harder to pick a name for a boy. So he didn't actually have him for 3 days, but we went into recovery. Ordered the food. Remember, I ordered
baby 00642 or something. That's what he was for the first 3 days.
No, he's called Terry's boy, isn't
Terry's
it?
Boy.
And ordered food. Remember, I ordered loads of Asian food. Mm. And then when it arrived onto the ward, the nurse was like, you sure you want to eat that? And I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. And then when I seen it, I was like,
yeah.
I literally was like, that's going to
go. I don't know. I was,
I would have eaten it, but I think it would have came back up. So then I ate 6 slices of toast. I just kept asking for more. Remember how hungry I was?
What bread is that they use in the hospital?
I don't know. And everyone talks about the toast and tea. It was absolutely not the one. It wasn't even toasted properly.
Yeah.
And the tea was like weak.
And God forbid you ask and you get a toast probably.
I know, no, I wouldn't.
Fucking throw it back at you.
Enough to be doing. But I had 6 slices of toast. I just kept asking for more toast because I was starving. Do you remember when I was in recovery? I was like, can I eat? And she was like, no. And I was like, please, I won't puke. I promise I never puke.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so you went back and then I was home after 2 days. Woke up on the Sunday. That was on the Friday. Woke up on the Sunday and I was like, I'm going home. Mm. I am going home.
But I suppose if you're determined like and in your head and get up and you're moving, because you've learned that from the first time with Sydney, that if you get up and start moving, that it's the best thing to do. And I think that's what pushed you to get you home.
Yeah, because I was pretty quick moving with Sydney. Like as soon as I was back to the ward on both babies, I was like, cats, they're out. Like I want to go to the toilet. I want to walk. Because there's a lot to be said for early mobilization. Like, and as well as that, like I knew food was really important. So I ate really, really well. Like, you know, I remember the next morning after having Miles and I was due my pain relief. And I was after being awake all night because I was in a ward and there was like 8 other women, I think it was. And it was chaotic. Like nobody slept, baby screaming, blah, blah, blah. First night I was breastfeeding, Anyway, I was weak and I remember the kitchen staff coming around with food and I was like, the last thing I want to do now is eat, but I forced myself to eat it, like, because I was like, I need to eat this. Like, so it was a lot more like pushy with myself in that sense, because I remember on Sydney, I was like, oh God, I can't eat. Like, cause you know, when I'm stressed, I can't. So sat up, had an egg. Yeah. I just made sure that I ate really well. And like, that was just something that I really focused on. So if you're going for a section, just make sure that you look after yourself in that sense, that you're getting the nutrients and you're keeping your energy levels up, because it's so easy just to be like, I'm not in the humor. Just force yourself. Obviously if you're not nauseous. So yeah, that was the arrival of Miles. I got moved into a smaller kind of area after that. Like, so I wasn't as busy and I was beside a lovely, lovely girl. We were chatting. She had a beautiful baby boy as well. And
can we talk about the incident of your painkillers disappearing, creating toes and walking away? Because I was getting it in the neck, like, and
you were getting it. So on the first, so at post-op, like straight away, I texted my mom and dad and I was like, do you want to come up? Cause I feel great. Like I feel fine. I'm walking around and it's grand. Mom was like, yeah, of course. So like my mom and dad were on the way up and I was due some pain relief. So the nurses or the midwives came around, gave me the pain relief, and at the same time as with a lactation consultant, and we were trying to get Miles to latch on. He had a tongue tie, and we were going through all that. So I was pretty distracted. And when the nurse gave me the pain relief, I said to David, just hold on to that and do not lose it. And I remember looking at him being like, do not lose it, because I need it. And
it's in a little
cup,
a tiny little paper cup.
Yeah.
And was it one or two tablets?
Three.
Okay, three tablets. And basically, as Terry said, I needed to watch this with my life. The baby then was kicking off. He needed to get changed. We put him down and he was in his brand new white baby grow.
Yeah.
The bed sheets were white and the little cup was white.
And you changed him.
I changed them.
While I was talking to the lactation consultant.
Yeah, after she had just given...
After I just fed him.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her, and then my mom and dad were just pulling up outside, and I was like, right, I'm ready for that pain relief. And David was like, there you go. And he handed me the cup, but there was nothing in it.
Mm.
And I was like, where is it gone? So anyway, I stood up and I was like looking for it, only after a C-section, like looking under the bed and all, like, I was like, David, where is it? Like, because I knew that they wouldn't be able to give me more.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if I'd taken it or not.
I could see everybody was looking at me. I was like, oh, I handed it out through the window. I made €20 off it.
But I was like, did you start saying to me, did you take
no,
it?
No. Because you said this earlier on in the house when someone came to visit, right? Now, I'm going to say it the last time.
Now, bearing in mind, I was up to my eyeballs.
I know that. But bearing in mind, you know, you need to listen for the last time, right? We stripped the bed. Moved the bed,
everything.
Moved the little cupboard, moved everything, lifted up all the suitcases, everything.
Then my mom and dad arrived.
The baby was getting moved left to right. It was like, and then your mom and dad arrived.
The midwives were in, everybody was looking for
it. Everyone was looking for it, was panic. And then you then said to me, you went, oh, maybe I did take it. And I was like,
no, because the midwife said to me, are you sure you didn't take it?
And I was like, you said it then. I was like, well, I don't know. Like, did you take it? I don't know. So then...
Then you start saying, you must have
taken it because it's nowhere. Like no one else.
Because
like,
I couldn't remember anything.
So then.
Was it
the next day?
No.
It was the next day because you texted me.
That yeah, but you had a lovely, you went home and had a lovely sleep and woke up to that the next day.
Add that in.
But this was at like, 6 o'clock? And then the midwives were like, we can't give you any more pain relief because...
You can't, yeah.
Because we've given it to you and like, you know, did you take it or did you not? And I was like, I'm 99% sure I didn't. Yeah. Like, cause I, you know.
It's three tablets, as you said.
Yeah, I'd remember. And my mom was like, you'd remember. And anyway, I just felt so gaslit. Like, cause I was like, did I take it? Did I not? Anyway, I was fine. I didn't have much pain anyway. So I was fine to wait until 10 o'clock.
Mm.
Anyway, nurse came around, gave me my pain relief at 10. And then at 12 o'clock at night, I was changing Miles. And the feckin' tablets were embedded into the back of the baby.
Yeah.
So they were in the baby grow.
In the baby grow.
David had somehow...
That was my way of smuggling them out of the hospital, Terry.
David had somehow tippled them into the baby grow and dressed the baby. So he had three tablets.
I like how you said David somehow.
Jesus Christ. Now, they weren't on his skin. They were just in his... On his vest. Yeah,
and the reason why I'm going to elaborate on what I mean by... I like how you said David knocked them over somehow... The following day,
the same thing actually happened.
And I sat there and watched it. The girl came in, handed the pain relief. And then as she walked out, the curtain pulled back again. And then the kitchen staff came in and the guy put the plate or the tray down on the table.
Yeah, yeah.
And knocked the cup off.
Yeah.
And I watched the tablets fall onto the bed sheet again. I was like, so that's actually how it happened. It wasn't me.
Yeah, it was funny though, because like the nurse that came around at then what would have been 2 o'clock. To give me more pain relief then in the morning. I was like, I found the tablets. And she was like, oh, there they are. Because like it was a mystery. Everybody's like, did you take them? Did you not? Anyway.
You were blacklisted in the hospital.
Blacklisted. I'm sure they were like, that feckin' Terry McAvoy one where being a nurse, robbing tablets, like trying to get double doses.
So we got out. We got Miles home.
We did get out and we got Miles home in Sydney when she met Miles. Oh my God, that video.
Her little face.
Look.
Her little face.
Surely
you don't forget this, but when she came into the house, initially the plan was that we were not going to bring her to the hospital to take him home.
Because
we were going to let her meet him at home.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to upset her.
Yeah. Because when I had the diabetes one day, I brought her in with me and Dave had to take her and it was a disaster. She just did not want to leave me in the hospital.
Yeah, it wasn't fair.
She's very clever, Sydney, like really clever.
Mm.
Like if that had been me getting my nails done or my hair done, not a problem.
Mm.
But she knew
that you were in the hospital.
There was something going on.
Yeah. So, well, the video that we have of her walking into the sitting room, completely unknown that
Miles was there.
She knew that you were home. And when she walked in and she just stopped in the sitting room all of a sudden and was like, oh my God, it's my baby brother.
She said, Kaka, look. She calls my sister Karen Kaka. Kaka, look. And I was sobbing.
He knows that name, Kaka.
Does he? I was absolutely sobbing. Yeah. Like the tears are just falling. My mum was like tearing up. Karen, it was such an amazing experience. We got a video of it and obviously I can't share because like
we don't share a little face. It's our little moment.
Yeah, but it was just, it was all worth it. Like, yeah. But yeah, that was coming home then. And since then we've done really, really well. Like I gave breastfeeding a go, which I was very surprised at myself for because I didn't breastfeed on Sydney and I talked about this a little bit on Instagram recently and I had a massive response. So it's definitely worth talking about it on the podcast. But I didn't breastfeed on Sydney. I had a bit of a disaster of like trying. I didn't. Whereas with Miles, I had said to myself, look, I might formula feed because it was so good on Sydney. Like it worked out so well. Mm. But when he was put on my chest, I just felt this overwhelming feeling that I wanted to feed him. Mm. And we hadn't even talked about it or like, that was just not the plan. Mm. And I just put him on the boob and he latched.
He latched on.
He had tongue tie. It was painful. It wasn't like a really deep latch, but he latched on and then the colostrum started coming out and I was like, oh my God, I can do this. Like, so I breastfed Miles, like combi fed, I'd say. Like I didn't exclusively breastfeed him because my milk was still coming in.
A couple of days, maybe one or two days.
Yeah. But like it was really good. But when I decided to stop, oh my God, it was a disaster. Like I stopped too abruptly. It was just not a good experience. But what I was saying on Instagram was I didn't really talk about my feeding journey with Sydney because I had fear of like being judged and like I didn't really give it my best shot with Sydney and I did have a lot of regret after it and I just felt like I wasn't really in a good headspace with it. But on Miles, I know I gave it my best shot and it was really, really hard. Like it was really, really difficult. And
it just goes to show like the immense task or pressure that women that like fully breastfeed, like
it's incredible.
Absolute, like
hats off to anybody that does it.
It's crazy.
Like it is insane. And it's so incredible that people do it. Like
it's
especially
crazy
after a C-section, because it takes a while for your milk to come in, especially if you didn't actually go into labor. Like yeah, I didn't go into labor.
Yeah.
So my body didn't even know I'd had the baby.
Imagine the pressure and the urge to have to, because there's women out there that would be like in their head, they're like, I'm definitely going to breastfeed. And that's the only option.
I know.
And then, like you said, things change. They have to go have a C-section. Their body's not prepared. And then their mind. And it's a lot.
So yeah, just kind of shared that the journey was really difficult. Like he had tongue tie. We did get that released. My boobs were so sore. Nipples were so sore. Like it was just so tough. And I found it really hard. And, you know, I did have a good bit of support. Like the midwives were amazing. Remember that midwife that came out? Helped me with the haka and she put it on my boob and like I had really, really good results from that. And there was a great bit of support, but it just wasn't right for me. Like David will tell you, like I was crying a lot,
but it's not even that. It's all down to the individual. Like we know ourselves that it works when both parents can help with the feed. That's what I mean. Like, for our family, we know that. Like, and we know that with the experience of Sydney.
Yeah.
Where,
and I don't get 9 months maternity leave, like, because I work for myself. So
you didn't get even 9 days, Terry.
I did. I took 2 weeks.
Did you?
I took two
really?
Weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I was responding to a few emails, but like,
you were working?
Weeks. No, it wasn't. I wasn't actively up recording content and like, you know, liaising with brands.
But you were
and
actively
agency.
trying to
go back.
Yeah, so you were. And I could catch it on your notes as well, because your notes are linked to the laptop and I'd see you writing down notes of inspirational links or content that you...
You're spying on me.
I wasn't spying on you, Terry. I wasn't spying on you. It's just the laptop is there. I can see
it's linked.
It.
So is my WhatsApp as well.
I don't care about your WhatsApp.
Anyway, yeah, so I really struggled with it. Switched to formula. And recently I opened up about that on Instagram and I've had babies, I've gotten married and I don't think I've ever had as big a response to something.
That's because it's obvious that women are afraid to talk about it.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of shame around it. Like, I mean, look, come here. Let's be honest. The best thing you can give your baby is breast milk.
Mm.
The next best thing is formula. Mm-hmm. Nobody is saying, you know, formula is best. Mm. Fed is best. Mm-hmm. And you have to do what's right for you, and you have to do what's right for your family, and you have to do what's right for the baby, of course. And I just feel like if you are in the trenches, you're in the depths of despair, like I was crying a lot. Like it really took a mental toll on me. Like I was obsessing over it. Mm. And I feel like for me, being in that headspace, it was just not right. Like it wasn't right for me. And, you know, I knew I had the option to switch to formula, and I made that decision with my midwives, and
look at Miles, he's thriving.
Yeah, I didn't look back. Like he wasn't putting on weight. It just wasn't right for us. Mm. But I'm so glad I got as far as I did. And I'm so glad that he got, you know, the start of the colostrum and the breast milk. Like I'm thrilled with that. Like I didn't get that far with Sydney. So I was really happy with that. And I think it's important to give yourself that praise, like, as well. But yeah, I kind of opened up about it, and a lot of women, I suppose, it struck a chord with them because they were in a similar boat. They had done the same. I was expecting to get absolutely rinsed because, as you know, like breastfeeding community, like women are really passionate about it, and rightly so. I think they're absolutely incredible, and I think the message is correct. But I do think a lot of the mammies that couldn't do it or struggled with it
just go silent.
Yeah,
and get forgotten about.
Yeah, which is fine, but also I think can be really tough on them as well, like mentally, because I had all those feelings where I felt really guilty, I felt really sad, I felt like I'd let myself down, my body had let Sydney down, Miles down. And I think as a first time mom, if you're feeling all those feelings, to probably hear someone else talk about it so positively and openly, and to feel like you're not alone, helped people. So just want to say a quick thanks to everybody that sent me a message, because I genuinely was like posting and saying, I'm going to get rinsed. I'm going to get rinsed. But it was nice to have a really positive response. And I only actually had one negative message.
Probably with someone that doesn't have kids.
No, she did. She just said that she's breastfed both their babies. And if she was to see this, that she would have stopped. And it's a really bad message to put out there, because women will stop quicker.
That's not what the message was.
Yeah, the message wasn't that. Like the message was, if that's what you decided to do, and if that's what was right for you, you're not on your own. Mm. There's a lot of women that did the same. So it was just nice to open up and to feel supported. And I just feel grateful for the little community that I have on Instagram. Like the girls are great. Like they are great. It's definitely lovely. Anyway, boring for David to listen to all that.
No.
So yeah, that's kind of been the journey. It's been hilarious and it's been chaotic, but I feel like we're killing it. Like I do feel like we are killing it.
I was gonna say we're killing each other, and I'd say we're not. But
we're not.
I do honestly, true as God. Like if you're watching this video, it means I have been murdered. I do feel like at one point I'm going to wake up during the night and you're going to be standing over me.
I think that's a lie, right? I think you're putting that narrative out there and it's not right. I think it's the other way around.
No. No.
Oh, you can't even say that.
No.
With a straight face. You know that it's not me. Be honest.
Yeah.
It's hard. But we're killing it. We're doing really well. And we haven't had near as many arguments as we did when Sydney was born. And I do think that's because
we were very cooped up in the house. It was COVID. And COVID. We couldn't do or see anybody. So we were just, it was hard.
And we're both giving each other the break as well. Like, whereas with Sydney, it was the two of us were trying to do it. And, you know, too many cooks in this kitchen spoil the broth, isn't that?
It was one of those things that
we're on top of each other. Like, whereas now it's like, right, you take him, I'll take Sydney. We're swapping.
Well, you know what stage we're at now?
What?
The funny stage where, so me and Terry have this thing where we'll tag team. We'll do night on, night off. And I was, for the past 2 or 3 weeks,
night
I was like,
on, night off.
I was waiting for
we
them.
We have not done night on,
no,
night off.
I'm saying we're at that stage now.
We're about to.
Yeah. So, where it gets to the point where,
because
I've got a funny reel that I want to do where it's like, you know, I'm looking at you and you're like, I'm laughing because I'm like, because I know tonight is my night where I get to sleep. And then it's your night the following night. And it's like a battle. And we used to go where with Sydney, we'd say, I can't believe it's my night tonight. Oh, I can't wait.
It's your night to go into the spare room. Yeah. And we'd be rubbing each other's faces in it.
Yeah, rubbing it in.
It was really funny because I'd be like, I'd hate to be going in to do it that night now. And he'd be like, shut up, Terry. Yeah. And I'd be like, see you later, going into the spare room. And I'd be like, enjoy your night and I'll sleep. And we'd be really annoying each other. And then the following night, I'd be in the horrors and he'd be like, I'd hate to be on tonight.
But he's in, Jake's in the horror zone. He follows me around every time. So it doesn't matter what time of the night is. And he's following me around with the baby. Yeah. And he's like, I just need to be beside you, Dad.
Because at the minute we're splitting the night. So I try and get it past 5 o'clock for you. David, not so much. Okay. You called me at 4 o'clock.
Hold on a second.
And you didn't need to call me, right? Can I just say, you didn't need to call me. You did the feed. You put him down. You should have just went back asleep.
Yeah, but this was the thing. I gave him the feed. I put him down. I couldn't go back asleep because we have a baby T-Rex.
Yeah,
and all he does is... So I was like, right, at least let me sleep and then you could probably go. And he went back asleep. He slept then for the rest of the morning.
And I didn't sleep because I'd been woken up. Anyway, it's fine. We're doing really well. We had one argument in the first 2 weeks. That was our first argument. And it was because I asked you to boil an egg, two eggs for me. And he did boil two eggs and he gave them to me and I opened them and they were raw on the inside. And then he tried to tried to tell me that he boiled them for 10 minutes. So I was like, but that's impossible because it only takes 7 minutes to boil an egg, David. So if you boil it for 10 minutes, then they wouldn't be runny. And he stood there arguing with me and I was annoyed that you were arguing with me that the egg wasn't boiled. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We had murder. And that's been kind of the only argument, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, it's just definitely the only one.
But has, like, oh definitely. Yeah, we had one big, massive one. Mm. One big,
the one that
one.
You threw the knife at me and I moved that
this
one.
Is not being drawn. It was because you were hungover. And you took me up wrong. I was trying to talk to him about, anyway, I was trying to talk to him and ask him how his night was. And he was like, meh, being a little shit. Anyway, what else have we to fill you in on? We had a really funny moment actually in Sydney when we first brought Miles home. So I'd say he's about 3 or 4 days old and I was changing Sydney's nappy. Or I was changing Miles' nappy. And she obviously came over and was like, Mom, what's that? So I was like, oh, it's his ducky. And she was like, all right, it's his ducky. Yeah. Okay. And she walked off. And then the next time I was changing his nappy, he had a poo. And she came over and she said, oh my God, mammy, look at his chicken.
We'll finish up on one funny story, right?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it on another episode because it isn't an episode in itself or even half when Jake fell very ill a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah. We've so much to catch so much to in
talk,
on.
About, talk about. But anyway, I needed to get a poop or 3 days worth of poop samples to the vet.
Basically, David collected shy for 3 days.
It's the only way, Terry, right? I needed to get it to the vet so it could be sent to the lab. Dr. Bobby was working late this particular night and never got over to the house to collect the 3 poop samples, which was on a Thursday. So on the Friday, he messaged me and said, listen, I can pop over now. It was quite late. It was like 11 o'clock. He said, and I can collect them. And I was like, don't come over now because if you pull into the driveway, Jake is going to go berserk and he'll wake the whole house. So when or what is the next option? He said, well, meet me tomorrow morning before I go to work and you can give them to me. So I was after taking Miles off Terry at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and I couldn't get Miles to go asleep.
Yeah.
So I put him into his car seat at 5:30 in the morning, put him into the car with 3 bags of dog shit and drove to Dr. Bobby's house. Now, here's the key part. I hadn't been to Bobby's new house since he moved. Mm. So he sent me the air code and the air code brought me to 2 or 3 houses. And I was like, well, which one is it? And of course he wasn't responding because it was first thing in the morning. It was so early. So I just guessed and put 3 packs of shit on the bonnet of this car in the driveway and drove off. And then I texted him and told him, he's like, yeah, no, there's a right house. Like, can you imagine if
it came out with 3 bags of shit?
And I would have been on the Ring doorbell doing it as well.
So David's just dropping off bags of shite. Bags of shite. But yeah, we've been smashing it. I think we've done really well. We've been back to work, both of us. David's pretty busy. He's doing loads of collabs. Show him some love.
Show him some love. Did you notice yesterday to the spoken stories for the first time?
No, I don't watch your stories.
You
don't watch mine?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Do you watch them and like dress up as me at the same time? You're like your man from Monster wearing me clothes going around the house.
See that show? I think we need to stop watching it. Because I came across a clip of like a couple of episodes deep into it.
Does it get worse?
You know the person he pulls out of the grave? Yeah. Like he skins her and then wears her skin. Like he puts her whole face on top of his face.
No, we're not watching that.
Yeah, it's like, I've seen funny videos of people being like, you're eating your dinner, watching it. And it's like,
No. I watched 2 weeks. For 2 weeks I stayed like obviously in that sitting room trying to breastfeed, doing all the hit bits. And I watched Downton Abbey for 2 weeks. Hmm. And the thoughts of it now.
Of what?
Of like watching it makes me want to kill someone.
Well, there's a show I'm watching that's really good, Task. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I've seen you post it on your stories.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Anyway.
Go on.
That's it. What'd you say? Back to work. We're back in the pod. We're very excited. And I'm sure we'll have some.
Well, we've got the message. Stories. You don't want guests anymore. So it'll just be me and Terry.
And we do have someone to fill you in on over the next couple of weeks and what's been going on. And we'll have.
We're going to spread it out.
Yeah. And we've lots of funny stories. But anyway, it's been lovely to be back. Lovely to be chatting. So nice to fill you in on what's, you know, the birth story, what's been going on and how we found the experience. And if you are expecting and you're scheduled in for a C-section, just know that you're going to be absolutely fine. And
order food for your husband.
Make sure you eat the next day. And yeah, we'll catch you on the next episode.
See you later.
Bye.